Hello, hello.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, here we are, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Welcome. Thank you for coming. It's nice to have you here today. Highfalutin Ski Bum Podcast number 8.
Always high, always falutin.
Always high, always falutin. Yes, number 8.
Number
the snowman.
Eight.
Number 8.
We have gotten this far. Can you believe it? And it's all because of you lovely folks listening to us. So thank you very much for spending your time listening to us. So, it's just us, the two of us today again. Mario,
it's the two of us.
Mario, how's it going?
It's going good today. You know, a lot of stuff going on. A lot to talk about today.
Yes.
So what's the topic today?
We are taking a trip down memory lane to our trip to Ischgl, Austria.
Austria.
Doing a little recap, giving you guys some tips, some pointers, some recommendations, suggestions. To sum it all up, Ischgl is amazing. It's beautiful. It was definitely worth the trip, and they are still we're recording this on May the 7th, and they are still getting pummeled with snow.
It was off my bucket list. It's back on. Just got to say.
Yeah, I mean, what were they getting? Another 3 or 4 inches today, and then 4 inches tomorrow?
Awesome.
Yeah, they're still getting pummeled with snow. So, hit those Powerball tomorrow. Take a trip out there, you know? You
That's
can make
right.
it happen. The ski season is not over in the Alps.
Before we get going on, we have the weekly flavor. So let's talk about what we got drinking today.
Oh, what do you got?
So I found Founders, which I love. They got I've been drinking their all-day IPA for a while now. That's like my latest flavor.
I think we've had that on the podcast before. Yeah, some weekly flavors with Founders.
We have, but I'm out in the store this week, and I found the Rubius they have, and it's a pure raspberry ale.
Nice.
So I usually don't like fruited beer, but I tell you what, I had this. It's definitely a beer. It's not a white beer. It's like an ale, but it has a really good flavor to it. Definitely raspberry flavor. It's kind of a cross between a wine cooler and a beer. It's really good.
Very nice.
Don't say.
What's the alcohol level on that bad boy?
Not sure. It doesn't say on the bottom.
Oh, it's that over there.
Oh, it is. Oh, 5.7.
5.7. All right.
So, yeah, for a fruited beer, that's not too bad.
Yeah, we were trying to have a thematic drink today, you know, being that we were talking about Ischgl, Austria. We were going to have Jaeger tea or some Stiegel beer, but, you know.
If I had more time, maybe I could have made the Jaeger tea. I just didn't.
We slacked. We spent more time preparing information for the show than getting the beer. So we figured we would sacrifice our, you know, deliciousness for the quality of the material in the podcast. So hopefully you enjoy it. Yes, Mario and I are both rocking our Ischgl Austria t-shirts.
Pisval Granda.
Yeah, and I am drinking a Oscar Blues Gebne Imperial IPA.
Hello, Gebne.
Which is delicious, I gotta tell you. I don't like it as much as the Gneipe.
Dark, light, what kind of beer?
It's an Imperial IPA. So
oh.
It's a pretty...
Pretty.
It's a girthy gal, 10% alcohol by volume.
Wow.
Yeah, it's. I'm trying to drink it slowly, but it's good. Again, I like the Gneipe better, but still a very solid choice. Guys, I don't know if you've been on the website or checking out any of our social media. SkiBumPodcast.com. I've been doing a lot of work on there, getting all of our podcast information, updating our social media,
Brian's
updating
a
the graphics.
Of the club. He's really going at it.
Yeah, I'm loving the way it's going. I got the new logo out there. Don't know
I'm
if you
loving
guys
it too
because
you're doing it. So like I get to see it, but you know, it's better
you're
when
my,
you do.
Well,
it.
You're my muse, really. So you inspire me to do this. But yeah, it's out there. It looks good. My thing looks good. Yeah, it's a work in progress. We're still building it out. But all of our new information is out there.
Love the logo.
The logo is coming together. Go to the website. Check it out.
Go to SkiBumPodcast.com.
You can also hit us up on Gmail again. SkiBumPodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter @SkiBumPodcast. Or go to the website and have all the information there. Hit it up. I have uploaded the RSS feed for the podcast into iTunes. Something is not working correctly. So my goal is by episode 10... which would be in 2 weeks, to have everything working correctly. So you guys can hold me to that. And
right.
If
I'll hold them to that. We'll push them to...
If I don't step my game up, you can just send me dick pics on Twitter.
You get those already, though.
Well, yeah, more.
Send you more.
So it's come together. Check out the website, please. I think it's really cool. We're really liking the way it's turning out. A lot of work left to do, but we are here to talk about Ischgl.
So, Brian, Where is Ishkill?
Mario. I'm glad you asked that. It's in a continent called Europe. Don't know if you've heard of it. It's kind of indie. It used to be very popular. Now it's kind of below the radar. Ishkill, it's I-S-C-H-G-L, is set in the Silvretta Mountains toward the head of a long, narrow Paznan Valley at the western end of Tyrol. Tyrol is a state in Austria. It's about a 40-minute drive to St. Anton, which is very popular.
Kind of after the Tyrol mountain range, right?
Yes, it's part of the Alps, yeah. It's about an hour and 20 minutes east of Innsbruck, which has hosted the Olympics at some point. I don't remember when, but I think the 60s maybe, 1960-ish, around there. It's a ski resort. The ski resort next to Ishkill is the Silvretta Arena Ishkill-Samnaun. Has over 125 miles of ski tracks, links the Tyrolean resort town of Ishkill with the duty-free Swiss resort of Samnaun across the border. So the two towns, it's right on the border of Switzerland. You can connect to it via the mountain, which is pretty cool.
Now, Samnaun, I think, is like the Swiss side, right?
Correct.
And then the Tyroleans like consider themselves like separate, right? Like a separate region, like almost breakaway.
Almost like how Texas is to the U.S. Yes. They're almost like they think of themselves as like their own republic, their own kind of people. But that's where a lot of the most amazing ski resorts in the world are, in that Tyrol region.
And culture. Good culture.
Yeah. But the Samnaun and Ishkill combined, that the Silvretta Arena, they form the largest ski area in the Alps. Wow. The town itself, there's three main gondolas that go from the town up to the mountain, and there's 42 lifts total. And, you know, we experienced it. You look at the trail map, which we'll post up on Twitter and show you guys. You look at the trail map, you can't even tell sometimes what direction the lifts are going.
It's massive. I mean, it's really deceiving when you look at the trail map. Like, you don't know where you're coming down or going up on the map. So, like, all day we're navigating through, like, just trying to figure out where we are. Are we going, you know, do we ski down or are we taking the lift up?
Yeah, it was confusing at times. There'd be points where we got there, we're going, oh, we'll take the lift up here. And like, oh, no, we can ski down here. It takes us back up if we go down. So, yeah, it was massive. The amount of terrain is unreal. And one of the cool things about it is if you're staying in one of the hotels there, which obviously if you're traveling from the United States, you would have to stay in a hotel there. A 5-day VIP pass is 196 euro, which is super cheap. I mean,
it's awesome.
You go to, I mean, and when we went in late January, early February, and that's when the euro was taking a dump. Our dollar went so far out there. Yeah. It was really cool.
But the trick is you have to get a voucher from your hotel to be able to go buy the pass. Because if you didn't have the voucher from your hotel saying that you were staying at the hotel, you couldn't get the VIP pass. And the VIP gave you both sides of the mountain, gave you the Swiss side and the Austrian side. Otherwise, you would have had to buy like either the ultimate one or like just the one. There was something with that. So you definitely have to get talk to the people at your hotel.
Yeah, the Silvretta Pass, which was the bigger one. I mean, that one, it really wasn't that bad, though. It was 231 euro versus 196. So, you know, it's still dirt cheap. Considering, you know, a one-day lift ticket at Telluride is 114 bucks.
Well, Stowa is 106, 108, something like that now.
Something like that, yeah. Isn't that crazy? Whistler's 115 or whatever. So, yeah, the lift tickets were very, very reasonable, which was great.
So let's talk about getting there. We went with a big club, so it was good that we didn't have to organize it, right?
Yes, that was huge.
Definitely saves a lot of headache. There's a lot of organization that went into that. So you got to get your flight in. We flew into Zurich.
Yep.
Pretty good flight. We got direct in. It's a very big airport, so you can get a lot of directs from a lot of places in the country.
And the Swiss, very efficient.
Oh, very efficient.
Everything's very efficient. Everything's clean. Everything is very well marked. You can get to exactly where you need to go very quickly.
Coming back was amazing. They were pulling, like, I got to say, every third person, they were pulling out of line, checking them, like, double-checking them on, you know, before they boarded. So I've never seen that before. That was pretty intense.
Compared to Newark Airport, it was night and day.
Just come on. They're pulling people out saying, where have you been? We got your ticket. Did anybody, you know, did you...
Look into my eyes and you answer the questions. Like, they're very thorough.
It was pretty intense.
And the measuring the weight of the bags.
Yes.
I mean, we saw so many people.
Down to the gram.
Down to the gram. Pulling stuff out, moving stuff over.
Not very, pretty rigid, let's put it that way.
They love the rules.
So we flew into Zurich and then, what was it, 2.5-hour bus ride?
A three. It's a good 3 hours. Hour ride.
And then it was snowing on the way back, so it was kind of like we were stuck in a little bit of snow slowness.
Yeah.
So yeah, 2-3 hours. But then again, we got a charter. We were the big group, so that helped. I do think they run other buses that you can get if you go with a smaller group, or you rent a car, which I really wouldn't want to drive around there.
You know what? You really don't need a car there. I mean, yeah. Once you're in town, everything is very walkable.
It's really small. I got to say, it's maybe a mile and a half wide, yeah. If that. I mean, we walked one night. We were walking off a lot of the alcohol we drank, and we walked from end to end, just walked around the whole night. I mean, I got to say, it's maybe a mile
yeah,
across.
It's very, very doable. And everything is set up for walking, which is great. But yeah, they once you're there, you don't need a car for anything because everything is very accessible. And where do you want to go? You know, you're there for skiing. You're there for there's restaurants, there's shops, there's spas.
They even had middle of the town. They had that moving sidewalk. Remember?
So through the tunnel.
Yeah. So you walk to like the middle of town, and to get the other side of town, there's a tunnel. And you jump on a moving sidewalk, and it just takes you across. It goes up and down, and, you know, you're there on the other side of the town.
Yeah. The one weird thing is that it stopped late at night. So you think at, like, midnight when everyone's a little bit hammered and would really need that moving sidewalk.
That's where they
have that cranked up. But, yeah, they make you earn it there. And for all you folks who are not daring eaters, there is a Burger King in town. So you can get your Filet-O-Fish.
Open late.
Your Whopper.
Whopper.
And there's a club underneath it.
There's a
like a dance club.
It is a lap dance club down.
Oh, was it?
Yes, it
allegedly
was. So it is the strangest town for makeup of clubs. They have great après-ski, adult theme après-ski, and then they have these lap dance places all around, which is weird. It's not a strip club, it's a lap dance place. And I've heard stories about like what goes on in there, and it's just like it's nothing seedy, but it's just strange. Like, it's not like your typical go-go place or anything like that. So they have those around. Then they have these really great spas. I tell you, it's a strange, awesome mix of stuff.
Yeah, they do say that Ishgil is kind of like Ibiza in the mountains. You know, there is a very there's a lot of clubs there. There's a lot of, you know, they focus on partying and drinking there. And their tagline, you know, they have their Ishgil logo, which is this really groovy Def Leppard font, Ishgil. And their motto is, relax if you can, .. Because, again, yeah, there's so much going on there. I mean, the bars, the après-ski, it's like nothing I've ever seen before.
So one of the funniest things I thought, like, so our club put out an itinerary, and they had the pre-après-ski at 2 o'clock. Then they had après-ski at like 3 or 4 o'clock, and then they had dinner, and then there was the going out after dinner, and then there was the late night after the late night. So it's kind of like, I thought that was kind of funny, and you know, they got tips from the travel agent, but walking out like the first night, it's probably like 11, 12 o'clock at night, walking around. I'm had a lot to drink, just figured, you know, walk off, just enjoy the sights of the town. And we're seeing people with their ski boots walking around, a bunch of British people that were just walking around hammered, laughing and singing and joking around, but just walking around still in their ski boots from the day at like 11, 12 o'clock at night. It was awesome. It was pretty funny.
I mean, that's hardcore.
It was like the Olympics of like drunkenness at that time of night. Like, we saw, you know, German people, we saw English people, we saw like every like different nationality, you know, groups. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, you definitely got a big mix of Europeans there, you know, from all different countries. And the stats that we got, they said roughly 50% of the tourists there are German. Mm. And then the rest of them are usually Swiss.
A lot of English people.
Swiss, English, yeah. I think Slovenian. A lot of Slovenians.
I mean, it's pretty unknown. I think, well, the first night we were there, we got invited to go down to the tourism center.
Yes.
And they gave us some presentation, and they said to us, they're like, well, we're very honored to have you because you're one of the largest groups from the United States. I think they said the first large group from the United States to come and visit them. And we thought that was kind of strange, but, you know, talking to the people that organized the trip and some of the other people, they were like, it's not very well known in the United States. Some people have heard about it. A lot of people haven't. And it's not a big tourist destination, but for Europeans, it's very big.
Yeah.
So a lot of the feedback and research they did through English feedback because, you know, it was English, you know, but it just was very well, you know, very much unknown.
Yeah. Yeah. Our ski club that we went with, the Hoboken Club, their goal was to go to different places. You know, they didn't want to go Zermatt and Kitzbühel, you know, like the Chamonix, the typical European destinations. They wanted to go somewhere different.
St. Anton was the other one that everybody's talking about. Yeah.
They wanted to go somewhere unique. So they did an extra research and made sure they found somewhere that was cool. And, you know, being that the Hoboken Club has mostly late 20s, 30s, 40s, they wanted to make sure that there was a good, you know, après kind of party scene. They didn't want it to be like a sleepy little town.
Yeah.
So that was one of their priorities.
Definitely a good party scene.
It was, and you know what? Everybody on the trip had an amazing time. I mean, we had people who probably skied 4 hours during the week they were there, but they still say it was their favorite trip they've ever been on.
They had a great time, yeah.
You know,
whatever you're looking for,
you could find it. And everybody got along in the club. I mean, it was a textbook perfect ski trip.
Yeah.
We had great snow. We had great weather, great mix of people. It was just a blast. It was absolutely fantastic.
Like, out of the 5 days we skied, we had 2 days that were pretty horrible, low visibility, pretty crappy. But I gotta say, the other 3 days, out of those 3 days, two of those days were probably the best ski days I've ever had. We had powder. It was probably like 6 to 9 inches of powder on both of those days. It was beautiful, sunny bluebird day. It was awesome. And the facilities, like, you know, the lifts, the gondolas, like, everything was really well put together. It was awesome.
Yeah, and like, you know, like you mentioned before, it's relatively new, the resort. I think it was the ski town, the ski resort, right? I think the late 70s.
Yeah.
So everything is very new there. The where we were staying at the hotel, Sport Hotel Stilvretta, which was right around the corner from the main gondola. And what's cool is the gondolas they have there, that main one, it was like an 18-person, I think 18 or 20-person gondola. So there was, you know, you had five-on-five kind of facing each other, and then another set of five-on-five, and you brought your skis inside and hung them up in front of you. So
it was high speed. That thing was moving.
Yeah, there were these, I mean, these gondola cars were gigantic. They were huge.
Yeah.
But they moved a lot of people. I mean, we were in line, and, you know, we're looking at this line, we're like, oh, this is going to take forever to get through it. We were through in like 10 minutes.
You know what made it even better? Was, we have to post the video, if we can. a lot of people out there, we notice, like to dress up in costumes. You know, we see that here, too. People do that. Out there, it was like almost like, I got to say, like, a really good percentage of them. So we're waiting for the gondola, and these guys dressed up as leprechauns put on, like, this show. But it was funny because, like, one dude jumps out, and he's, like, waving to the crowd. Then he jumps back in. Then he jumps back out. Another two guys. Then he starts singing songs. And it was very festive. It was, like, Mardi Gras. It was, like, it was great.
Yeah, the people – one thing that, you know, it seems like is that people have more fun over there. You know, like, just generally they have more fun. They're dressing up more.
It's 24/7 fun.
They're just, the people just go there to party. I mean, that's part of it. But and that's kind of cool because you see people not just in their, like, 20s drinking and partying and having a good time. You have the full gamut. I mean, we saw people in their 60s out there having a good time.
Everybody had a great time.
Yeah, I'll play the video quickly. So you had all these people there who were, you know, kind of bummed and annoyed they're in this lift line, and then these, like, four or five dudes dressed as leprechauns come out singing, and everyone is laughing, having a good time after that. So you saw a lot of that. People, you know, at après-ski, people are singing. There's all these songs that they that are, like, the standards almost of, like, the après-ski scene.
It was a really good mix. And I got to say, like, so we got lucky with the hotel we stayed in because underneath, they had one of the best spas I've been in, and that was included in part of the hotel. We were right across the street from the main gondola, and then we were, like, in the middle of the strip, and below us was Kuhstall, which was one of the most well-known and
world-famous après-ski scenes.
Crazy après-ski. I mean, that thing went on until, like, I had my window open a few nights, and I couldn't sleep because at 4 o'clock in the morning, people were walking by, woo, just like screaming. It was out of control.
Wasn't it awesome? There was one night, I think it was a Sunday night at 3 in the morning. We heard someone yelling, they're like, there's nobody here!
It was incredible. And then the last night, a bunch of my roommates and I were hanging out on the balcony of the hotel, and somebody decides to throw a snowball at us. So we got into a whole snowball fight. And, of course, the cops yelled at us. It was kind of interesting. I mean, you know, nothing happened. It was just all good fun.
It's all lighthearted. People just are so much less serious.
It was just funny.
People are all having fun.
It was all about fun. It was awesome.
But that hotel, like you mentioned, the spa. I mean, the hotel was beautiful. Everything was so nice. You know, it was cool, too. Like, the package that we had, our breakfast and dinners were included. Yeah. Food was out of this world.
And a lot of places in Europe do that.
That's a big European thing, too, which is great. I mean, the type of menu, I mean, like Mario mentioned before, that hotel said we were the first big American group they've had there. So they were trying to pull out all the stops for us, which...
It was great.
I mean, we had, like, local suckling pig they brought the one night. They had kangaroo one night.
Kangaroo? That was awesome.
They had Wagyu beef the last night we were there.
They really put out... like you said, they pulled out all the stops. It was a family run. So apparently what happened is, I guess, the restaurant was subcontracted out by family. So they had, like, farm... You know, from their own farm that they know, that they brought was like the butter and the milk. Like it was.
The yogurt. And you could taste the difference.
It was incredible.
It wasn't, you know, pasteurized, homogenized, destroyed like the crap we get here.
And they
it
were
was
so
legit.
Happy too. Like, the staff was, they were great.
So friendly.
Every one of them. They were like friends by the end of the, you know, the trip. Like when we were leaving, they were like crying. We're like, you know, a lot of us were sad about like leaving them. It was like, it was family. It was
we
great.
Had a big chant going. Remember, like, yeah. We're never going home. We're never going home.
We almost didn't actually.
We didn't. Yeah, it was. So if you're ever looking to go to Ishkel, this sport hotel Silvretta, could not recommend it higher. And yeah, the spa. So they didn't have hot tubs there, which was kind of weird. And we were all like, this is not going to be good. But they had a heated outdoor infinity pool,
yeah.
Which with all these little funky massaging, you know, devices that like hidden in there, like the jets.
Yeah,
I mean it was amazing.
They had saunas. They had like three or four different saunas. They had this meditation shower area that you walk around, and they have like fragrances blown at you and lights.
It was like a car wash, a human car wash.
But it was like it was cool. Like you have like birds singing and they like. It was just hard to describe it. It was amazing, though.
Yeah, they had the multiple steam rooms.
Yep.
They had the foot bath. Yeah, like to the saunas. They had the relaxation rooms, like these giant beds you could...
Nap rooms, yeah.
Nap rooms.
It was good.
I mean, it was... And it was all included. Now, every day, you could just go and hang out there and
right. The only thing that wasn't included was the massage, which I got a massage there. Klaus was great.
Klaus, his hands are magical.
Magical hand, Klaus. It's like a brother to me.
then, he is now.
And then you and Andrea went to the five-star hotel down the road.
The Trivoli, I think it was.
I forgot what the name it was.
Yeah, so we went to like the fancy hotel, thinking we were going to get some special, you know, treatment or whatever. And you know, we've been in Europe and we've gone to get massages at other hotels, and usually they include the rest of the spa facility. And this place had a big indoor pool and
Hotel
Trifana, nailed it. So they had we thought we'd get to enjoy the rest of the whole spa area there because they had a whole big, you know, bit, you know, lots of everything there. We got that like, oh, you can't use it unless you're a guest. So
unless
like,
you're James Bond.
Yeah. So we didn't get to use it, so we were kind of like annoyed. But we went back and got our massages there, and we did a couple's massages, my wife and I. But
you didn't have Klaus, did you?
Oh, I did not have Klaus. I had Frau Veronica, and my wife was so pissed off because she was smoking. This gorgeous little blonde and...
Now, if you had a picture of Frau Veronica, we would have put that up on them.
Yeah, I don't have a picture of Frau Veronica.
In your mind, you do,
in
right?
In my mind, I might. But yeah, she was beautiful, but her massage was kind of weak.
See?
Klaus has those magical hands.
Klaus's hands.
She had soft, white collar, I don't need to work, I'm a beautiful woman hands.
So, I gotta say, Klaus, he knew his stuff. He was Italian, but
Austrian. Mi scusi.
But he was like a German guy. It was the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
We bonded, I gotta say.
I bet you did. But yeah, so yeah, the everything at the our hotel, the Sport Hotel Silveretta, was just top notch, out of this world. Couldn't recommend it higher. Everything was great, and even had heated locker rooms.
Mm.
So each one of your, because you had a corresponding locker to your room.
Ski room. That was ski room was awesome.
So yeah, each room had their own particular locker, and they had the piped in heat there, so you can put your boots on there, and it would heat them right up.
Walk in the morning, it was just like, it was top notch.
It was great. It was everything was fantastic. And again, Kuhstall was right there. You can walk right downstairs, and you were in there, and you could do your thing. So,
so while Opry Ski was great and going out was great, I just have to mention that there was the dude to girl ratio had to be. Would you say 90% dudes to girls? Like
that was exactly what I was thinking. 90-10.
Yeah, and most of the girls that were there, they had girls like dancing on the bar, like, you know, paid like dancer girls like around, and like, you know, waitresses, like, so there wasn't a lot of like girls. Like, we were lucky that we came with like a ski club about 50-50,
yeah,
and we came with a, you know, pretty sizable group, and we all hang out anyway, so it's just kind of a nice atmosphere. But like, you know, if anybody's going out looking for, you know, just like people to hang out with and meet and stuff, if you were a girl, yeah, you met a lot of people, but there was a lot of grabby situations apparently.
Let's just put it this way. If you are a soft 5 here in the U.S., you were a hard 8 in Ishkill. I mean, there were not a lot of ladies there.
But there was a lot of gropiness from what we heard. Like,
there was...
We heard reports of stuff, so be careful. You know, it's just people get aggressive, I guess, you know. It wasn't anything dangerous, but it was a little...
It was very, very... A lot of testosterone going around
there. And it was different than what people were used to hear, so...
And I think it's a European thing, too. They're a little more aggressive with the ladies.
So I kind of took it, like, the area, like... So, since there were so many guys there, it seemed like a lot of guys were going on groups with their buddies to Ishkill to go ski. Kind of like, in this country, people go, like, on golf trips with their buddies. You know what I mean? So, like,
yeah,
there's a lot of, like, just, you know, a lot of groups of guys out there.
Yeah, a lot of dudes. Which was, I mean, depending on what you're looking for, you know, it's either really good or really bad.
Hey, you're looking for a good snowball fight, that's the place to go.
Yeah.
All I know is we kicked ass. We represented the USA in a way that you couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, I think the Europeans in general could tell the Americans. I mean, one thing, so go back to the mountain itself. In Europe, if you haven't been to Europe, you really should go ski there. It is quite exotic and lovely. But
you're highfalutin, you do.
You do.
I'm just saying.
That's what we do. The trail markers are different. So, you know, here we have the green circle, the blue square, and then the black diamonds. There, they do it blue, red, and black. So, Ishkill was...
And then diamond red.
Which is like a weird off-piste kind of thing. Yeah.
It's like an extreme.
It's really funky. But the trails, it was 27% blue, 63% red, and 10% black. So, when we first signed up for the trip... I was looking at the trail map, and I was like, is this going to be, like, fun, extreme enough, you know? Just looking at that kind of, you know, breakdown. But then again, there's 125 miles of trails.
Well, and for all, you know, everybody knows when they classify something red, it's in relation to that mountain.
Right.
So, I mean, you're talking about a huge mountain, a lot of terrain, a lot of steeps, so their reds were pretty good.
They were great.
You know, I gotta say their reds were borderline black here, and then the blacks were...
It's like a double blue.
Double black, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, the thing about it, too, is that where we were, it was above the tree line. So you didn't have the tree skiing that you might have in Vermont or, you know, Colorado or whatever. And, the top ski elevation is 2,872 meters, so 9,400 feet, about... But you were above the tree line there.
Yeah.
So you have the main pistes, but then you have all the off-piste terrain. And that probably, quadrupled?
You know what was good for us? The amount of terrain? Because, so, the Europeans are on the trail. All the Americans are off the trail.
And that's how you could tell the Americans, because we were just jumping in off-piste. And, I mean, I think I scared this one group of, like, 60-year-old German ladies, because I was bombing in off-piste. And to get... off back to on, usually there's a nice little lip because of where the snow cats kind of push the snow, and I just launched back onto the trail, and I believe I heard cursing in German behind me. But I was just I had nice. The mountain song by Jane's Addiction on. I was just like in the zone. It was like perfect weather, and I was just like flying past them, and I was like, WW2, who won that one, ladies?
The best part of that going out to Europe, though, and out there in Ishkill, was we had great powder. Not a lot of people were off-piste, off-trail, and we were just out in the ungroomed powder, just like playing. There was nobody else out there. It's freaking awesome.
It was beautiful.
I mean, usually out here, if you get a snow day, you got to get out like first tracks and everything's skied on before like noon. Out there, you know, all day there's like fresh powder because people aren't really skiing off. Like, I think it must be a mentality that like they go out and they're on the trail. That's what
they
do.
See, that's the rules. You stay, you follow the rules, you follow the piste, and that is it.
Well, I mean, we were in Switzerland. I was in Italy, and now Austria. I mean, it's all been the same. Everybody likes to, you know, they relax and they ski. There's a lot of slalom type of skiers. We're very good skiers. So like they like a lot of the slalom stuff, but Americans are just freaking crazy. I mean, that's where you realize like we are pretty freaking crazy. Now I understand why usually, and thank God we didn't have anything on this trip. Usually we go out and there's like two or three people that get hurt.
Yeah.
You know, nobody got hurt on this trip. Some people didn't even ski, which was because the party was so great. But
the worst thing that happened to us was Andrea lost her ski in the powder
for about an hour.
For about an hour, yeah. There was some. I mean, it was deep. It was a good foot and a half.
So we're going. We get out there in the morning. We find this this deep trail, and we did it a few days before when we had powder that day. We had even more powder that morning, so we're like, it was almost like a foot of fresh powder. So we're like, we're going, and we get off the lift, get off the trail. And we're going down. It's pretty steep. And there were moguls the day before. And now they're all covered up because there was so much powder there. And we're going down. And she must have just hit like a mogul that was sticking up or something. Like that just dropped in. And her ski came off. We're all going down. And then she's moving around the mountain. And then we're trying to look. And it was like everybody on the mountain. Like I got to say, people were really helpful. But for about an hour, we had like 12 other people helping us look for the ski.
Yeah.
And then we finally decide to go down.
Oh.
And all of a sudden we hear up on top, "Hey, is this your ski?"
Hello.
It was way up there. And I tell you what, that saved the day.
That guy must have hit her ski and he grabbed it. Because that would have, I mean, we were way far away from anywhere. We were nowhere near where the gondola was to get back into town.
You would have to take like two gondolas to get down. It would have taken at least a half a day to go back and because you had the insurance to swap out the ski.
Yeah.
So it was a matter of that. But even though it was a great powder day.
So helpful tip, if you're renting skis, always get the insurance.
Always get the insurance, and if they do have it and there's powder, they have the get the
powder straps.
Powder straps.
Yeah.
Which we didn't even think about it until after. They're like, "Oh, you need to get powder straps?" Like, we didn't think about it.
Even better, don't be on racing skis going off piste in a foot and a half of fresh powder.
Yeah.
That would have helped too.
They're like, but 172?
No, like her. They were like 76 72. Width.
Yeah.
They were really narrow. They're like Stokely racing skis that she had on. Which were awesome on piste. They were good on the...
Again, the slalom ski.
The slalom skis, yeah. So, little tips. Little helpful tips. But, it was fantastic.
Got to get on fatties if there's powder out there.
Yeah. And one crazy thing, too, is so, you know, we talked about how they do the different instead of green, blue, black, they do blue, red, black. There was only three trails that got you off the mountain back into Ischgl. And so everyone is filtering into these three different trails. And one of the cool things they do there, too, is they have a lot of bars on the mountain. So you'll go, like, there was one area called Pazinaur Thaya that was kind of all the way to the east.
Pazinaur Thaya was awesome food. They had a DJ there. You stop in there. It was
on
great.
Like a Wednesday. They had a DJ there. It was packed.
It was awesome.
You get a great meal.
Standing room only, just like hanging out, just chilling out.
Shots.
It was awesome.
There was schnapps there. There was beers. It was great. But the problem is, the lifts all close at 4. So everyone is leaving at the same time, and you have to filter down this one trail.
And everybody's at different levels of inebriation at that point.
Yeah, and there was this one trail, and it was steep and icy, and it was the word shit
only
show.
The ice that we saw the entire time was leaving that place.
Yes. To call it a shit show would be an understatement. I mean, just people.
It was like Thunderdome.
It was pretty much Thunderdome.
You know, a few people enter, and then maybe a few people leave. It was horrible.
The Chinese downhill.
It
but
was,
drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With so, moguls and ice.
So you get down the first part of it. There was like the terrible hill, and there was a rope tow. You had to go along for a while. And then there was the final part. But you could download onto the gondola to get back into town, which I know people who have never done that in their lives, they did it there because they didn't want to ski the last little treacherous part,
yeah.
Which was this mogul-y, icy, crowded,
awesome
disaster.
After the first day, and you realize how it goes down, you realize how terrifying it is because other people are like, they're beginners, and they're funneled through that.
Yeah.
And I got to say, that's probably, it's not an intermediate trail. It's probably an intermediate, it's not a beginner trail. And they're just like trying to navigate, and there's ice and moguls, which they're not used to at all. And once we were used to it, we're like zipping around and stuff like that. But
yeah, it was ice, moguls, crowded. Most people were drunk, and it was super narrow. I mean, it was just a complete...
It's a perfect storm.
Perfect storm. But once you got to the bottom and you unclipped your skis, you're like, I have earned my drink that I'm going to grab right now.
The best part is you end at the road.
Yes, you're on the street.
It's an active road and a street. So if you're not paying attention and you're going too fast, you're in the street on the pavement and there's cars coming.
There's some Russian and like a Land Rover that's going to run you over.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was
awesome.
Not all the safety and the regulations and the slowdown stuff you're going to have here. It's a little more... almost like Wild West-ish out there.
Who needs ski patrol?
It was great.
I don't think I saw a ski patrol.
We didn't see any ski patrol.
Yeah, come to think of it, yeah, there was...
There was none.
You're on your own.
Yeah. It was fantastic. So, for the most part, it was like 95% amazing. There were a few downsides, though. You know, nothing is perfect.
Phew.
And so, my three bugaboos were there are people smoking everywhere. That's a big European thing. Didn't bother you?
Oh.
The restaurants, like, that was bugging me.
The little kids smoking, maybe that bothered me a little, but, you know.
Under 12, you shouldn't be smoking.
Under 12. Actually, yeah. The bars were like, but you were back in the 70s or 80s, where you're like, you come home, and then you got to take a shower.
Because, just reeking of smoke, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, that was bad, especially at the eating places, because the food, everywhere we would go, the food was awesome. I mean, you know, they had goulash soup and cheeses, and, you know, everything was really good.
Speckstube.
So, yeah, one other thing, too, because we went last week in January, first week in February. Yeah, January through last week in January, first part of February. So, you know, we're thinking, during the week, it'll probably be pretty empty. Remember, Europeans get a ton of vacation time.
So they
have no problem taking a week off skiing.
It was an entire week of weekends. Let's put it that way.
That's what it felt like, yeah.
It was great.
But on the mountain itself, it never felt that crowded. It was really just the gondola, the first gondola up in the morning. Once you take that first gondola, you don't take it again during the day.
The best part is, the most interesting part of it is, you take that first gondola up, and it puts you into the Idup area. Mm-hmm. And as you're going up, you're seeing lifts go every which way around you. And you're just like, where am I going? Like, because I tell you what, there's lifts that are going across other lifts, to the right, to the left, straight ahead. And you really got to get your bearings, because I tell you, it was amazing, like, how big and vast that place is. And then you're going into Switzerland, and you're coming back, and you're like, oh, yeah, well, we don't want to go into Switzerland, because I don't have my passport and whatever. And then you take a lift up, and you're skiing, and you're like, I'm in Switzerland right now.
Yeah.
You stop to eat, and you're in Switzerland.
It was really confusing. And they tried to label the lifts. It's kind of in sections, so you have, like, the A1, the A2, the A3 together, and then, like, the M1, the M2, the M3. But it was hard to keep track of it. I mean, I'm sure the more, if you're there a long time and you live there, then it's not a big deal and you kind of figure it out. But as newbies, it was really confusing. So yeah, so that was one of the things. They get tons of vacation time, so it can get a little crowded. But again, the resort is so big, you're never gonna feel crowded. The lift lines are never that bad.
Right, and we did find out, like, where we were was, like, the middle of town, but they have outskirts of town for, like, more family kind of gatherings. And then they do have food stores and stuff like that. So you can find a lot of stuff. I love going to the food stores whenever I go to Europe, because it's, like, you see the different products, different marketing, and I'm real big into that. I also like German food, so I brought back, like, some like, seasonings and things like that, like, because you just can't get that here.
One of my favorite things that I can only get in Europe and Switzerland is Red Bull Cola, which I absolutely love. I was able to find it there. It was delicious. And I also found out that...
I got Red Bull chocolate, remember?
Yeah, I was going to mention that too. We got a little tin of the Red Bull. It's like a dark chocolate with, I don't know, some sort of spices or ginseng or something in there.
I think it had Red Bull in it.
It probably did have Red Bull.
I just finished mine, like, last week.
It was really good.
It was pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, Red Bull, I mean...
There's definitely something in it. Like, I think it was Red Bull.
Taurine or something, or one of those, like, energy drink kind of...
Energy crack.
Energy crack.
Yeah.
Dark chocolate. It was really good. So, yeah, there's all kinds of funky stuff. And then they mentioned Speckstube, which was this little sausage hut right in town, right by our hotel.
You're not supposed to bring it back, but if you put it in your suitcase, I forgot, and I just put it in my suitcase, and I just ended up with some, you know, back here.
Yeah, we had the those meat chips. It was almost like a prosciutto, like a dried prosciutto chip. So we had like a little bag of those, and then the
bear borscht. It wasn't like pepperoni. It was like a hard like chip,
like a potato chip made of
meat. Weirdest thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And they had the dried the Bergwurst, which was the dried sausages, which were just delicious. And it's not something you're going to get anything similar here.
Excellent, excellent.
It was great. And then the one last thing, that, or you're kind of going back to the crowdedness, the downside was lift lines can get aggressive. That's a big European thing. There's a lot of elbowing and jamming in. And,
you go to Europe, you got to be prepared to like stand your ground.
Luckily, we're from Jersey, so we can kind of hold our own. But if you're like a really nice person from the Midwest,
yeah,
you would be very overwhelmed and get very...
Don't be surprised if somebody stands on your skis or pushes in front of you, or you let somebody in front of you and like five people try to get in. That's just par for the course.
Yeah, know? There will be a lot of that.
One of the other things they have, so they market a lot, and I heard it's pretty good, you know, to go over there. We didn't make the trip over. We knew people that went. They call it the smuggler circuit. So what you do is you go and you ski from Austria into Switzerland, and they have duty-free shopping in Switzerland, have a little town and everything like that, and then you come back. And the funniest thing is we were coming back, I think it was like 3 o'clock, and we're trying to get back from Switzerland over into Austria. And you have to make sure of the timing, because if you time it too late and the lift closes, you're screwed and you're stuck in Switzerland instead of being in Austria where your hotel is. So we're trying to get on the lift, and, you know, we get on, but there were so many people with backpacks, and, you know, it's funny, like, us flying, we're like, well, we have duty-free in the airport, but a lot of these other people are coming from, you know, they're in Austria.
From Germany or...
Germany, and, yeah. And they're, you know, they're driving, so they're going for the duty-free. So you'll see people, like, you know, backpacks with stuff in it and perfume and all sorts of stuff that they bought there. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and there was one guy on the trip who, he went there and did that. And he went and got Cuban cigars because, you know, in Europe, well, everywhere, but here until now, you can get, you know, Cubans. So he's like, yeah, he's like, I want to tell my buddies I skied into Switzerland to get Cuban cigars and bring them back. Because that's pretty badass.
Yeah.
But yeah, we didn't really get over there because, yeah,
well, they do have cigar bars in town. So, like, we went out a few nights and had some nice Cuban cigars. And, yeah, it was expensive, but I tell you, it was a great time.
It was cool. Experience-wise, you kind of had to do it.
Yeah, you know, you have nice Cuban cigars, sit back. We had a little bourbon.
Which, a lot of great schnapps.
A lot of good schnapps, yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of Jägermeister was there. That was a big thing.
Meister.
And then one of the other things that's kind of ski-related but kind of not, the one night we did the tobogganing.
I still have a mark from that.
The death sleds, as they call them.
Death sleds.
So what you do is you buy your $20 pass, and you get on the gondola, the same gondola that we took to get to the top of the ski mountain, but it takes you to the mid station. And they do this only at night twice a week. So this was like a Thursday night. We went up, and it takes you to the mid station. You give them the lift ticket that you paid for. The guy running the thing is this kid who's smoking, takes your ticket, hands you a sled, and sends you off on your way. There's no waivers. There's no instructions. It's just go. So they lit up part of the one trail. It's actually the number one trail. And
it's part of the one you ski out when you're like on the mountain. You're skiing down back into town.
Yeah, and they give you these little wooden sleds. You know, it's got the, you know, the little piece for you to sit on, and it's just there's no brakes.
It's like
no
a bigger flexible flyer, and you're on this thing, and you're flying down,
and you just go. Can just bomb it down, and there were plenty of casualties that we saw along the way. Mario, so
I actually gashed my shin pretty good. Somebody decided to pull up on their sled and kind of stop in front of me, and I couldn't stop, so I just kind of hit into them, not thinking it was anything big, and I got a really big gash on my shin. Probably should have had stitches, but I just put a little tape on it,
rub some dirt
stuff on it. Somebody had some Neosporin, and I got a nice scar there. I can take a picture of that, put that on the web too.
Let's do it. Yeah. And we have some GoPro footage too of the death sled.
I have a whole full account of it. It was, yeah.
Oh, nice. We gotta put that up too on YouTube.
The best part is at the end of it, again, you're ending in a road. So like you're flying down, and there's like, and then they started stacking in the road the sleds as people came down.
Well, they had a pickup truck for the sleds that was in the road at the end of the trail.
So if you didn't stop, you're going to hit into this thing.
And it was pretty much a turn.
Yeah.
A turn, you went down, and then you were in this road.
Yeah. But I tell you, it's just like overall in Europe, just you have to be aware for yourself because they're only partially responsible, and that's just how the attitude is.
Wait, you have to be responsible for your own actions?
Exactly.
Ew. It's so weird.
The other thing is insurance. I think we mentioned it before. So if you're in Europe and you get injured, your lift ticket doesn't cover you for all your medical expenses. You'll get charged for it. So they have an extra insurance thing. It's usually like 10 or 20 bucks for the week. You get it with your lift pass, or we got it when we rented the rental, skis. Right?
The ski rentals, yeah.
And if you get injured, you have to get airlifted off or something. It's going to pay dividends because to get airlifted off is probably about $1,200. They'll charge you, and you have to pay it and then try to get it back from your insurance. But if you have the extra insurance, then it goes through that, and then everything is a little bit easier. So for 20 bucks, it's definitely worth it.
Always opt in. It's definitely worth it, yeah.
Yeah. They offer it a lot of places. So some of the other things, there's a lot of small towns around. A lot of people that you meet in there are just, you know, from other small towns around, from other parts of Europe. Just like here, they're lifties, and they come from all over. So definitely a great experience to go to Europe.
So yeah, we highly recommend Ischgl. Yeah, it's a blast. The skiing is tremendous. The town is great. The environment is awesome. It would definitely be a top recommendation.
I think any place you go that like we've seen like in that area, I think almost anywhere you went there, you'd have a great time.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, we reviewed Telluride in our first podcast, and you know, we were lucky enough to go to both Ischgl and Telluride this ski season, and both of these places are amazing, but they could not be more different. The whole vibe, the environment, the terrain, even everything is very different. But both
Ischgl is extreme. Like Ischgl was, you're on like 100%. You're either fully going for relaxation and spa, or you're full on going to party, or you're full on going to ski. Like there's no in between.
Yeah.
Like Telluride, there's some little lulls you could kind of hang out and chill out and whatever. But like
legalized weed, man.
But I tell you what, like Ischgl was extreme. Like it was extreme at every level. It's extreme relaxation. It's extreme partying. Extreme skiing. Like it was really great.
Yeah. Again, both were amazing places to ski, but completely different vibes. You know, yeah. Colorado is a lot more chill, a lot more relaxed. But the skiing, I mean, Telluride is it's crazy.
It was
13,000
awesome.
Feet and amazing terrain, you know, crazy bowls and backcountry.
Yeah.
There, Ischgl was, you know, crazy terrain also, but it didn't have that. It had more of the party scene going on.
And there's something going on all the time. Like, the partying's always going. The skiing's always, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's always on. Like, it was interesting for that fact, you know?
Yeah. Very different, but both very awesome. And can recommend both of them very highly. So, we're going to
only place I've seen an 8-person bubble.
Yeah.
8-person bubble lift.
8-person bubble lift, yeah.
It was crazy. I was like, this thing is gigantic. Like, the facilities were great.
But yeah, 42 lifts they had there. I mean, it was crazy. So, anything else you got about Ischgl, or you want to take a quick break? We'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back with some Around the Horn. We got some good stories and some good stuff to share with you guys.
Around the Horn.
Be back in a few. All right, and we are back.
Hello.
So, just want to let you guys know the info again if you want to reach out to us. If you have any questions about Ischgl, if you just want to tell us how awesome we are, go to the website, skibumpodcast.com. Hit us up on Twitter at skibumpodcast or email us at skibumpodcast@gmail.com. All that info is on the website. There's also a change tip if you want to hit us up with a Bitcoin tip. We would love that. If you want to just send an email, if you want to hit us up on SoundCloud, all of it's there on the website. So skibumpodcast.com, hit it up. Let us know what you think. It's still in the building process, so it's not 100% complete, but we're working on it.
Reach out. We'll get a lot of advice. We'll help you out, man.
If you have topics you want us to talk about, if you have guests you want us to interview, please hit us up. Let us know what you think. Mario, we're on the horn. What do you got this week?
All right, so I was going to mention, you know, since we're talking about Ischgl, we're at May 7th, 2015, and Ischgl, right now, within the last 48 hours, has 17 centimeters of new snow. 150 centimeters of snow, I think, in the last few days or a few whatever.
That's their base, right?
I think that's the base. And they're listing fresh snow on the upper slopes, which is pretty amazing. They had a big concert recently.
Yeah, one of the big things they do too at Ishiko is they do a season opening concert, usually the middle end of November, and they do a big early May end of season concert. So this year the opening concert was James Blunt, and the closing concert they had 30 Seconds to Mars and Robbie Williams. So they get some legit acts. They had Mariah Carey there, Katy Perry, The Killers.
Elton John. They had like
I think Elton John was one of the first ones they ever had there.
Yeah, they had like Katy Perry, Scorpions. Nickelback was there last time. Killers, Mariah Carey, Alicia Keys, Elton John, Peter Gabriel. I mean, they've had Enrique Iglesias, Sting,
Bon Jovi, Jersey,
Nina.
Nina!
99 Luke Balloons. So they do a lot there. So that was pretty cool. The other thing I had was Lindsey Vonn, Tiger Woods, breakup.
Done.
What's going on? Over. We'll find out next week what happens.
Yes, we'll see if we can get Lindsey on the podcast. It probably won't happen. But
I think
that's
been ruining her concentration. I don't know. Maybe it has, maybe it hasn't.
You know,
only time will tell.
Tiger wants her to get out there and, you know, use the old 9-iron. And she's got skiing to do.
It's a tough mix. I mean, you know, she's a winter girl. He's a summer boy. I mean, just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Can't play golf on the you know, ski resort. Can't ski on the golf resort. I wonder
if Tiger skied.
I don't know. That'd be interesting. Yeah. I wonder if he can or can't because of, you know, the whole golfing thing. Get injured.
But it's not like in football or whatever where you have a team where you have to sign a contract. You're kind of like an independent contractor as a golfer.
Sure.
Yeah. But probably
he's got sponsors.
He does. That's very true. So, Lindsey, Tiger, sorry couldn't work out. Tiger, hit us up if you want to party.
Could have had great skiing, golfing kids. I don't know. That would have been...
They could have had super children, yeah.
Super freak super children.
Yeah. So, I got a couple things around the horn this week. One of them, and I'll tweet this out to you guys if you want to check it out. It is a beer brand has replaced rugby players' missing teeth with implanted bottle openers.
That's goddamn horrible.
You heard that right.
That is horrible.
There's this. The video is of a dental surgeon that is installing these metal bottle openers into these dudes' mouths, and they are.
See, that picture doesn't look bad, but I gotta believe it's not that small.
No,
that looks like a tooth.
It's a tooth size bottle opener. So instead of one of your big molars in the back.
Maybe I can replace my grill with one of the bottle openers.
It's a bottle opener, so you can just kind of like, you know, pop your favorite ale or Smirnoff Ice with your new implanted bottle opener.
What if it's a pull top? What do you think?
I think you got to use your finger then. I think you're out of luck. Or use your tongue. Put it in your tongue.
Can you replace part of the tongue with a little opener thing?
I would not be surprised if that's been done before. So
that's crazy.
That to me was pretty awesome. So I'll tweet out the link and we'll have it in the show notes too for the podcast.
Which rugby team did he get the guys to
do
that? I
don't know. I think it was in Australia maybe. What a surprise. Savages down there. Argentina actually.
Ah, boom.
Argentina. So
I like the little ad. That's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool, yeah.
It's pretty space age and pretty.
They did like a 3D model of the mouth with the Salta brand bottle opener tooth replacement.
We might have to get some of those.
Those are pretty.
If they're legit. Gold plated though. That's stainless steel. I like stainless, but
gold might be good. Yeah, you don't want like.
I want titanium.
Titanium.
Screw that. That's how I roll. Titanium.
Adamantium.
I gotta add the adamantium a little bit at a time.
So we had that. Whistler Blackcomb has announced their closing date is going to be June 7th. June 7th. But they have their summer camp, too.
Don't close, ever.
They have their summer camp in the Alpine area
as
well.
They do the glacier,
up on the glacier, yeah. But that's pretty solid season. I think Snowbird's closing this weekend. Killington, still open.
Still open. It's still going to be open.
Yeah. And then one other news note that I got.
Killington's going to be open later than Whistler.
Well, I don't know about that.
I think maybe.
Maybe. One thing I saw, too, from Snowbrains posted it. They've got a lot of great information on there. So I didn't know this because I don't know a lot of things. But Beartooth Basin, I don't know if any of you guys have been out there. It's out in Montana and Wyoming border over there. They are a summer-only ski resort.
Awesome.
But unfortunately, because of the low snowfall this year, they're not going to be opening. So Beartooth Basin will not be open for the summer.
Still.
They said they need about 8 feet in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, it's going to happen.
To open.
It's going
to
happen.
Yeah, they said they need an 8-foot May miracle. So, yeah, if you guys have been out there, like, please reach out to us. Let us know what it's like, because that, that sounds pretty awesome. Well,
pictures and video if you have it.
Pictures and video. And if you have a house out there you'd like to let us borrow for a week,
great.
Even better, skibumpodcast.com. Hit us up. So I think that's pretty much all I've got. Mario, anything else, or you want to wrap it up?
No, I think it's good. Things are moving along. I'm getting past my depression mode after ski season. Starting to get ramped up for the summer, so, you know, in between still.
Yeah, and this whole podcast, this whole everything that we want this to become, this has become our new obsession for the summertime. So, you know, again, we're working on improving the podcast, you know, improving the format, the content, working on the website, come up with some, hopefully some t-shirts, some designs, some logos and stuff for you guys to check out. So we're going to make this our passion project this summer to keep us occupied till the...
It'll go the whole summer. It'll go.
It'll go. So, yeah, we're looking forward to having you guys see what we're going to be doing next. And, again, please hit us up again online. Keep on podcast. Go to the website. All of our social media is there. And reach out.
And feedback. If you hate our voice, if you don't like what we say, just tell us.
You think our beer selection sucks, please. Let us know.
We might ignore you. And we might tell you we're going to ignore you. But, you know, we like to hear it. So
that's true. Bring it on. All right, man. So I think that wraps up for today. So thank you guys again for listening and checking it out. And we will see you guys next week.
Peace.
Peace.